Is everybody back? I think so.
Yeah.
So welcome today to our conversation in the Clean Network. Before we get started, I want to ask if there are any announcements. And Jeff, why don't you just briefly recap what we talked about before we started the recording?
I'm sorry, Mark. Do that. I actually did ask you something.
Hey, Jeff, Mark, do you want to just give a brief overview of what we talked about before?
Yeah,
the
certainly, yeah. A number of us are going to the AGU Chapman Conference on Climate Change Communications, which will be at Snow Mountain Ranch in Colorado, June 8th through the 14th. And, Jim, I think you're on the line, too, aren't you?
Yes, I'll be there.
Yeah, so we at one point had thought about maybe we could Skype some of the sessions that are relevant to climate literacy to the, you know, do a live Skype from the session. I think that still may be possible, but we won't really know until we're there and see how strong the internet is and that sort of thing. But stay tuned. We might be able to sort of virtually patch you in if you're interested. The education session will be on Thursday, whatever that is. That's the 13th of June, I think. Yeah, I'll have to double-check my schedule.
Okay.
I think it's the 13th. So, that's it in a nutshell. We will certainly take notes and be able to report back at one of the clean calls later after that.
Okay. And just to follow on to that, I have another announcement for Frank. I haven't emailed you yet, but one of the 9 sessions we submitted for the AGU fall meeting was on the role of the AGU scientific community in communicating about climate change. And Frank Niepold and I, along with Michael Mann and Ed Maybach, are the conveners of that session. And I just found out that it has been approved as a union session.
Awesome.
So we weren't really sure that was going to happen, but so that's really great. So we'll have 8 education sessions and 1 union session. And it would be good to connect what comes out of this climate, this Chapman Conference, with as we organize that session.
Good. What's the name of the session?
It's the exact name I have to look up, but it's the role of the AGU scientific community in communicating about climate change.
Okay.
And Mark, if I remember right, Tamara, we inserted engagement into the abstract so that it was the wider set of activities than just communications, and it's sometimes I perceived
in fact,
the narrow.
The title might actually reflect that. I can just double check that. In the meanwhile, I'm looking that up. Are there any other announcements?
One question for the community. Does anybody have a really good German translator that they know who's good at more scientific documents?
Have you talked to Anna Gold?
Well, that's why she asked me. I mean, what we need is somebody who's very good at, I mean, Anna is involved. We have the Climate Literacy Guide in German now. It's a rough translation by the Switzerland Globe Group, but we need a good copy editor, somebody who's really good at making it read as a German would read it, as opposed to a German document. I mean, it reads like it's an English document translated into German. And we need somebody to come kind of fix some of it before we give it to the scientific community to ensure that the science is right.
Hey, Frank, Morten Storksteek is probably too busy to do it himself, but he might know someone.
Can you send that name to me? And this is Frank Niepold.
Martin Storsteak.
Martin.
Oh, Martin.
Yeah.
Oh, Martin. I was a little garbled when I heard. Oh, Martin. That's an interesting idea.
But Frank, you might be in the same boat as I am. That it's.
Yeah.
That if you're not trained as a translator, it's really hard to make that switch. Like you can be able to read it and be an good copy editor. Well, but ask him; he might know someone.
I'm going to try and get the translators for the State Department who work on the six UN languages. But I may be able to get there, but I thought it would be good to ask anyway.
Okay, I did look up the title. The actual title of the AGU Union session is The Role of the AGU Scientific Community in Climate Change Communication and Engagement.
There it is.
No. Okay, any other announcements? Well, if not, I will turn it over to Rebecca Anderson and Frank Niepold and Mark McCaffrey and Scott Carley and anybody else who's been working with them to lead this discussion about climate change in the next generation science standards. And the slides are available on the website, as is a Google Doc. And just so that I can add this, because I just got an email from Jill Karsten, because I sent out the announcement for this, and she thinks that the Google Doc should also include something about assessment, so just so we don't lose that. All right.
Well, thank you. So I'm gonna take the point. This is Frank Niepold over at NOAA. I'm going to take the point for the group, and then we're going to open it up quickly to a conversation. So we're just really trying to frame the conversation. And the PowerPoint slides are really just support. And Tamara, you should notice some similarities with some of your work recently down at the Council of State Science Supervisors, because I borrowed some of your upfront slides. I think a lot of, so just full credit where it's due. I think, slide two, most of you guys on the network know this history. We were part of it. We lived it. So this is just there for, just remember. If anybody doesn't remember this, let me let me know. But if you go to slide three, the fact that the standards do place an emphasis on the human component, that is very clear. And there's a strong engineering solution set of ideas that are in there, and it's a little interesting how they did it in the final version. Obviously, we as a community agree that climate is a great vehicle for both of these. It's also a great vehicle for systems and Earth systems and understanding in them. That's true. And you're going to see on slide six in a second, but this idea of how this all comes together in the context of high school, where I'm focusing, but also in the elementary grades. There's a lot of emphasis on that climate is more of a capstone, and you'll see in the Council of State Science Supervisors thinking about that. But obviously, systems and Earth systems is better in there. So if you go to slide four, obviously the science and engineering practices, cross-cutting concepts, and core disciplinary ideas framework offer some really rich and interesting pieces of work here for what we're trying to do in climate and energy literacy. That said, it's a little bit challenging to work with, and we're still working on how to deal with that as we get into this. Going to the next slide, just to set the stage here again, is this interdisciplinary transferability learning progressions piece is rich. For what we're trying to do. And, I've done extensive analysis and cutting up paper and moving things around and drawing things and trying to really understand really what just happened. And other people like Ted Willard, who's on the line, have been doing... Ted, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. So Ted is also doing some of this, not necessarily specific to climate yet, but there you can talk about what you're doing, Ted, in the larger conversation. But there's a lot of skill development that's focused on in this, which I think we as a community have thought is a really good, important part of climate energy literacy. So it's not just knowledge as is important here. So let's jump into the really interesting pieces that frame the conversation. If you go to slide six, now this is a little bit of a funny image. And Tamara, I think you were still here when this was shown, but at the Council of State Senate Supervisors, the CSSS, toward the end of their conversation, I know Dan Barstow was there. Tamara, when they were talking about sequence, core sequence, were you part of that conversation?
No, I had to leave.
Well, Dan is here, and I was. I remember that.
Awesome. So, thank you, Dan. So, what I heard when they were talking about this is they were really trying to figure out how, at a high school level and middle school, but specifically this is about the high school level, how do we get all students in those states that sign onto the system to learn all the content that's in the Next Generation Science Standards. So it opens up a really very clear conversation about, you know, getting, you know, 3 years of science. And so, Mark, your analysis at the NCSE about, you know, how many years of science is required and all that stuff, clearly in this thinking, and they did it at the big units, you know, ESS3, ESS2, and so on. They're looking at 3 years, and the third year would be dominated by earth sciences. The second year would be dominated by life sciences, and the first year would be dominated by physical sciences. But you'll notice in the lower left corner, ESS1, Earth's place in the universe. I think it's is in the first year, and the biological evolution, unity, and diversity is in the third year, coupled with Earth systems and Earth and human activities. That's what they're thinking about. They're thinking three years.
Yeah, I would put a caution on the certitude with which you're saying they're thinking about this. As I recall from this meeting, it is a big challenge. How do we as a nation, how do each of the states work out the including all these strands? And this mapping out of three courses was one possible idea that came out of one of the groups, but it is a difficult issue, and there still are those who feel that earth science should be its own course at the high school level. There are those who feel it should be consolidated and done at the middle school level. And there are those who feel that it should be interwoven, as this kind of example presents. The caution is that this is an early stage in a process of states figuring out where earth and space science fits. For them, the important message was that it is a crucial and now increasingly mandated set of skills and topics and big ideas and so on that need to find some kind of home.
I would like to add to that, if I could.
Ted, please jump in there.
This is Ted. To keep in mind, the standards themselves, they have, even though the standards formally came out, these are referred to as model course mappings, and this is one of several different ones that will probably be released at some point soon. I'm hearing sort of, even though they originally said by the end of April, it's more sounding like the end of it. It isn't out yet, and the last I heard was, you know, by the end of May that we could be expecting something like this. But they're going to have a number of different suggestions of models of ways to organize things in courses, and, you know, to explain what their thinking was in developing those. The standards themselves will not require any state or district to use a particular model, and I would say it's therefore a given that you will see a lot of different things happening, including, and we should be aware of the possibility of some states moving to models that are pretty much the same as what the current models are. And not that I'm saying that that's a good thing, but the all of this is going to be decision-making at the state level and at the district level, and that what we're seeing here is, as a picture, a suggestion of how it could be organized and some thinking. I'd say the only thing I've heard and seen in a strong sense is that there is this push in saying that to accomplish NGSS, you would need at least 3 years of science. And that there seems to be a great deal of unity on that point. I've silenced everyone.
No, I was talking. I forgot I was on mute.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, Ted, you silence me often. So what that exchange highlights is exactly what I think we're talking about in the next stage of this in the Google document, which is, you know, each state is going to have their own permutations and their implications on the quality of what we are trying to achieve with different models. If you try and get the chemistry, physics, and biology teachers to be the ones who teach the Earth systems and the Earth and human activities and Earth's place in the universe, and they don't provide adequate professional development, we know what that's going to do to the quality of what we've tried to achieve. So I think, you know, how this full conversation moves forward, I think, is really going to be rich and interesting for us to capture. How do we move all of this? So just one for you guys out there, I've been doing a ton of thinking about this, and as the rest of the community. And so there's a group of Google Docs that I believe you all have permissions to use, but in the kind of rolling forward on trying to build the bottom one, which is the NGS climate concept maps, similar to the strand maps that AAAS Project 2061 did, to really see what happens here, I generated a DCI map, what I think is out of this that relates to climate. Same thing for performance expectations. A map of all the performance expectations with their DCIs and cross-grain concepts. And so just, you know, anybody who's working in this and is neck deep in it, there's a lot of data that has kind of been pulled together in a common way. Hopefully you'll find that useful. They're all editable. And then all the comments and kind of analysis we've done across multiple rounds is in the fourth one, which is the NGS All Draft Climate Content Compared by Clean Network. I think you're going to go ahead.
It doesn't look like we have permissions, at least for some of these.
Okay, I'll go back in. It's a little bit squirrely for me to change permissions on some of these because NOAA is Google.
Yeah.
Google-ized, but I tried to make it so that it is. I may have to, we'll have to fix that another way if I can't figure out how to do it. You can send me a request and I'll permit it if somebody wants to get in here. Maybe that's another way of doing it. But so just to highlight, because I did want to get into the conversation with the Google Doc, if you go to slide 8, this is my, and Ted, you may like this or not, but this is my version of elementary. You'll see at the end of each of the, I notice I have a little problem with a couple of these, but if you'll notice at the end of these that the grade level is in the little parentheses. So you see from fifth grade all the way to kindergarten, and there's some you know, starts and stops and connections and lack of connections that are going on here. But there's a lot going on here for elementary teachers. And I chose this one intentionally because we know that their abilities and their competencies and their knowledge and comforts and efficacies and all that stuff in elementary grades is low. Especially on something complicated as, you know, ecosystem dynamics. I'm thinking, you know, that's a tall order for fourth grade teachers to work on ecosystem dynamics, functions, and resiliency, or biodiversity in humans in third grade. So there's some real challenges to the community, but I think that, you know, you see in this a lot of the issues that we're going to be focusing on as the implementation and adoption phase comes in. And that's really all I want. Yes, please.
Sorry to interrupt, but just a question. The text in the boxes here, like biodiversity in humans or ecosystem dynamics, functioning, and resilience,
yes.
Are those your summary of what the content of those boxes are, or is that taken taken as a subheading from the standards?
Subheadings of the standards, because the text itself, I'm going to make another version. It's in the climate maps, the presentation. I'm going to make multiple versions for each of the. I'm actually going to put the actual language of the standard in another version. This is just my way of starting to kind of get the beginning process going. I think you actually want the DCI content in there as opposed to the title.
Thanks.
Okay. Is that helpful?
Hey, so Frank,
yes,
this is Tamari. Was this map, did you use the content of those Google Docs to build this?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep. So I did try to get them, too. It kept asking me to log in. So we're going to have to figure out how to make that available.
We'll get that straightened out.
Okay.
Some people are sending me requests to share, and I'm permitting it. So, you know, just as long as if you just send me a request. I know somebody just did that a minute ago. So
Frank, are these the documents? This is Rebecca. Are these the documents I created?
No, these are documents I created. The one that you created, everyone has access to because you are not inside the NOAA fund.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see where to request access. It just asks me to sign into my NOAA account.
Tamara, as long as I know, I don't think you have one of those yet.
I don't think I do either.
All right.
But that's how it is. I don't know how. So let's just skip that for now. But
we'll skip it for now. I mean, if I have to, maybe Rebecca, if I just send you the Word documents, I'll export them out, and then you can just post them, and that would just be an easy way of bypassing this problem.
Yeah.
We'll get it figured out today. So let's jump over to the Google Doc. Unless you have any specific questions related to anything, but that was really just table setting, just to show you kind of and highlight some of the things we've been doing to think this through. But, you know, I see anonymous bat is doing stuff in here. So I see a bunch of people in here. Not everybody's showing who they are. But I think we had a couple conversations about this, and we were thinking about, you know, what are all those things that have to happen in order for people to be supported, to be assisted, to really ensure that the opportunity that the Next Generation Science Standards offers is really fulfilling what we're expecting as it relates to climate and energy literacy. And so this is just the beginning of our thinking this year. So I just want to put it out there and see, you know, maybe we can start at the top or, I mean, as I see somebody put in assessments that was down here. So anybody can write in here. So, you know, but I think you'll see kind of those bullets, the areas of work. Are there any areas of work that there's anything that needs to be added? Any bullets?
Well, yeah, I'd like to bring something up. This is Mark McCaffrey, and Rebecca and I had an interesting conversation with somebody out here in California that's been very involved with NGSS, and he mentioned that it may be possible to add to the standards at the state level as long as you don't subtract. In other words, because some of the key important concepts around climate were stripped away in terms of performance expectations. You know, some of them were there a year ago, and then they gradually whittled them down so that there's really no specific performance mechanism in the greenhouse effect, for instance. It may be possible to get that added at the state level. And so I'd like to, maybe not in this conversation, I'd like to have a discussion at some point around the pros and cons of that and whether that's in fact true, and if so, how we might go about that.
This is Dan Barsh. I'm sorry, Tamara, is that you?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so what I was going to say was that one of the things that I think that lends itself to the teacher professional development activity is to provide professional development in the context of how you would teach some of these standards, you know, sort of to get to the performance expectations, and that progression would inherently include these pieces that were explicitly left out but are implicitly included because you need to teach them in order to get to the performance expectation. And one of the ways that we were going to we've actually proposed this. We don't know whether we'll get it funded yet or not, but was to develop these maps of how to teach to particular standards using resources in the clean collection, because those resources, we already know, have been reviewed and are accurate and effective. So that was one suggestion in terms of getting at those pieces that are not explicitly in the standards anymore.
And this is Dan Barst. I think it's actually a very interesting and important point that the standards are actually written relatively broadly. The one statement, once you get down to it, about climate at the high school level is a pretty broad statement. Now, how that gets played out in the classroom can have much more time, scope, detail, implications, skills, connections, and so on. And I think that we need to view the standards not as a cap that is restrictive, but as a core that defines the minimum beyond which teachers will and curriculum can and state standards can expand and elaborate. And, you know, their effort, I remember them saying that in the transition from the second to the third to the final version, they eliminated about a third of the topics or consolidated them. The point was to create a final product that had room for teachers and states and schools and so on to allow for more in-depth treatment of various topics, not to say, oops, you may not go beyond this. And it's going to be a tricky thing for us because we obviously feel that climate is an sort of the supreme example of integration of Earth systems and want to create wonderful things or point to wonderful activities and so on that go beyond a sort of a minimalistic view. We want to be promoting a rich treatment, not worrying about what must be excluded.
I'd sort of, again, append to this. I mean, the standards by definition are describing what all students need to learn. I emphasize those two term words there. As it states, you know, the current status of earth science education or climate education, I would argue, particularly at the high school level, you find that there is very little that all students are expected to do. We have courses in place. We have some students learn some of these things, but we have very few cases where all students are learning all of what is described in the standards. And it's meant, by definition, if it's supposed to be what all students learn, then that means that some students learn more than that. But this is, you know, as a set of standards, if people take to heart what we're describing here, and that is operationalized, and I think that's what you want to make sure of right now, is that just to continue to fight that all students are given instruction in all of these things. That would be a huge improvement in victory in the earth sciences to go with here. There's a lot of folks, chemistry teachers, physics teachers, who are, you know, I had conversations at our conference down in San Antonio. You know, physics teachers say, well, I teach a lot more than this, and I ask them how many of their, you know, what percentage of the students in their schools, you know, take their course, and it's a very small percentage. And so it's not meant to, the real goal here is to really focus on that all students aspect. And so I would point to, I think that it already, as the standards are now, even the final version, is a true challenge if you're really thinking that we're going to get all students to learn all of that. And even if you just focus on the climate, that's a huge lift to work on. And that opening the door to other stuff in climate also creates an open door for the physics teacher community, the chemistry teacher community, biology, to try to stuff into the courses, other pieces, which then, you know, pushes out what has not traditionally been done, which includes climate. And so I would be very cautious in those terms. There are huge advantages in what we have already in place. I'm not saying it's perfect, but yeah, go ahead.
Maybe one way to look at this is, and it's kind of what I'm starting to see, and I think Mark, it's what you've seen in the missing of certain concepts, is that if there is part of why I'm mapping the NGSS is to see if there's a gap between two ideas, that clearly you would have to add something in that instruction in order to achieve that higher level learning idea that is implicit but not explicit, and adding it in a clarifying way. And that's why I put that sub-bullet under the strand mapping,
mm-hmm.
because I'm thinking that there's going to be some things that need to be clarified in order to teach this idea that aren't standing out already. And I think, you know, Dan, the way you described it is that it's going to be messy out there. This is not a perfect roadmap. And I think the more we're able to support people with things that are actually useful, then the more likely they are to do it the right way as opposed to kind of sloppily do it the wrong way without meaning to do something bad.
And I would push the where I think the efforts make a lot of sense is to do that work and then push to make sure that the materials for classroom teachers, the instructional materials, fill those gaps and try to accomplish it. And they actually accomplish what is in the standards, explicitly or implicitly, is where I would suggest energies would be best focused.
This is Scott. I'm curious, and this actually question has risen up in the ocean community. How do people see the assessments in all of this stuff? Do we expect assessments that are going to be mostly aligned to the performance expectations, or will we see assessments that are broader than that and are including the framework? And I think, Ted, I kind of get a sense of where you are with this, is that even just going with the performance expectations for all students is going to be a huge heavy lift. Where do you, I'm wondering how other people think about this.
There was considerable discussion at the Council of State Science Supervisors meeting about the assessment issue. There are a number of states that are trying to combine their resources and expertise, and there's a National Academy of Science study on assessment, all of which are pointing to the need for an assessment that is truly aligned to the new standards, that is not just a regurgitation of facts, but has performance metrics and integrates skills and the cross-cutting big ideas. Now, that's still a ways down the pike, but I think many states, as they're trying to decide about deployment, before they adopt the standards, they're saying, how do we assess them? How do we train teachers? And are requesting the state supervisors to develop this kind of master plan for how all those fit together, because it just will not work if we use old assessments to assess progress with the new standards.
I think there's
feel that then these will be more aligned then with the performance expectations?
The standards themselves, when you look at the standards, the performance expectations are explicitly described as what is to be assessed.
Okay.
And
Can I ask a question? Because it seems to me in reading the performance expectations, this is Tamara, in that it seems to me that they're examples because of what students should be able to do and what they should know. So, for example, there's a particular DCI, a concept that is in the performance expectation is matched with a specific skill. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that if you can assess both the content understanding and the skill, but in different combinations than mm-hmm. are identified in the performance expectations, that's still a success.
The idea is that students would be given tasks that check whether they are able to perform the performance expectation. And from that, you would determine whether they have the ability to engage in the practice, the knowledge of the core ideas, and the knowledge of the cross-cutting concepts based upon them doing it. But those explicit performance expectations are explicitly what would be assessed. It wouldn't be that they suddenly pull a different practice and a different core idea and mix together. They're not examples. They are these specific instructions to.
Well, it seems to me that if that's really in the intent, then that's overly specific, because it seems to me that if you have performance expectation one that has certain data analysis skills in it, and performance expectation two has a concept, a particular content area, and if you can have an assessment that addresses both of those but in one assessment, shouldn't that be valid?
I'm not sure whether I'm understanding you. If you're talking about an overall task that would use a couple different performance expectations together, is that what you're referring to?
Well, what I'm suggesting is a little bit further than that. Yeah, together I think would probably be fine. But what I'm suggesting is that you might have two performance expectations and you might have two assessment questions, but the questions might bridge the two performance expectations, whereas collectively they get at all the different pieces, but individually they don't address completely any one.
Let me put it this way, which I'm not sure if it agrees with you or disagrees with you. Let me pull a particular performance expectation here, so I'm using real language. In the high school weather and climate, use a model to describe how variations in the flow of energy into and out of the Earth systems results in change in climate. That involves the practice of using models, and it involves the content about understanding certain things about Earth's materials and systems. You will not find an assessment item that takes that idea about Earth's materials and systems and combines it instead with plan an investigation or analyze data. It will be about an assessment item will be about using a model to describe. It is the specific instruction, the performance expectations. Really, their sole purpose is guidance instructions to assessment developers.
Yeah.
And none of that says how it should be taught in the classroom, but it says how it will be assessed.
Okay.
I
can't really pull out an example, so I'm going to have to look for an example. Yes, I'm sure there are some that are specific enough that changing them. I'll try to find an example where I think that it could be.
Now, there's two aspects about assessment I just want to sort of throw out to the group. There's this aspect about, what type of tasks will be on some sort of state assessment, and then there's the question of what sort of assessments will exist in terms of the overall system. Right now, No Child Left Kind of Left Behind requires one elementary, one middle, one high school. There's nothing in NGSS that says that you have to have a high school assessment that assesses all of what you're teaching in high school. A lot of states in their current No Child Left Behind have a single biology test,
yep.
And that exists, and that would be what's assessed. So there's that whole issue in terms of what is done in terms of when states develop these assessments, are they going to be expected to, in one way or another, check students' understanding across all different subject areas? That's, I think, a huge issue for this community.
Ted, I agree with you. I think that's part of the problem here is that when the assessments are really deeply tied to the performance expectations, the curriculum development is going to be driven by that. And, your comment about biology is certainly true in Washington State, is that any science teachers that I've talked to say they teach to the biology test, and physics and chemistry are left behind, certainly Earth sciences.
Because Washington State has a biology exam and doesn't have exams that check students' understanding of physics or science.
Exactly. So it's all sort of focused on the assessment, and that's what's driving the kind of curriculum that's taught. And that's my concern about this linkage between the performance expectations and assessment. But that's at least if you require all of the performance expectations, you're getting a broader survey of science topics, STEM topics, whatever, than you are just looking only at biology, for example.
So you know, I mean, we could probably spend the remainder of our 17 minutes together on assessments.
Yeah.
But moving on. are there other? I mean, I'm wondering, are there other key pieces of work that are needing to be discussed? I mean, I'll give one that when Dan and I were at the Council of State Science Supervisors with those. And then toward the end, they were talking about how to really work in climate. One of the things, and Kristen, are you on the phone today?
Poppleton?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm here.
I believe there's only one Kristen in the network, as far as I know.
Awesome.
So, but the special issues that states are going to face in the adoption and the implementation phase are going to, there could be, I mean, one of the things they were looking for were, are there going to be people, state networks, who could help them with answering questions or queries or, you know, giving support for the rigor or the science that that if a question comes in from a state legislator or the head of education for the state about the climate component or the energy aspects, that they would have somebody who would be able to help them in a short turnaround answer those questions. You could imagine some of the skeptical science questions coming at them, and do they know that those questions have been well answered at skeptical science, or you know, things of that nature. So that's a whole category of support of areas of work that are not in here currently. So I'm just throwing it out there as another like black round bullet that's not on here. There's got
to
be others.
I would, just to add to that, say that it seems like if each of us that are doing this work, maybe it's because we're Minnesota nice, but it's not hard to connect with, it's not hard to connect with the person that is your lead in your state if you want to be them to think of you as that resource. And I don't have all the answers necessarily when it comes to climate, but I have you guys, and I can ask. I know where to find them. And in Minnesota, that's what happens now, is when he gets anything about climate, it goes straight to my email. And
right.
And that's great. I feel proud of that, and excited too about the possibilities of that. And that should be something that each of us who are in a state should be doing, is making sure that the science person knows who you are and that you're there as a resource.
And I think, Kristen, you highlighted another piece of that is if you are that go-to person and you need support beyond what you have, then I would assume then you would rely on the CLEAN network to support you in that support function.
Right. Exactly.
So it's like everybody's got, you know, everyone's got somebody's back.
This is Jim Bray from AMS. We have an extensive national network of trained people as well, and they deliver our data stream courses as well as do other kinds of things. And we're working hard to try to position them to be resources as well. We also are very much involved with our climate course and the other ocean and weather courses in actual teacher training in a variety of states. And these courses are offered by various colleges and universities to either in-service teachers or more likely pre-service teachers to train them on how to teach science or at least our sciences. And so we're working very hard to map these new standards to the elements in our courses, and are actually looking at fundamentally changing the organization of some of these courses. But the big question is, how can we operate on a national basis with a national network when we're really going to be dealing with a lot of different states? So far, we've been working with three states, and that's about it. And to carry this on nationally, even though there is a set of national standards and a number of states that have adopted those standards, it's still very nebulous as to how this is going to play out in the individual states.
So Jim, if just to kind of put that, I mean, I put you down under the in-service, face-to-face section as one program that is struggling in that space.
Right. And maybe virtual too, Frank, because we're very much involved with online stuff.
Okay.
If that's what virtual means.
Yep. So, I mean, I think you know, really one thing we would do is start filling in the programmatic space so that you have redundancy or you know, efficiency in knowing who's working in this space.
Right.
And they can collaborate and get efficiencies as needed. It's quite an interesting project that we're doing here, guys. I've never actually seen us work this way, where we're all co-writing a document simultaneously. It's quite something to watch.
It's Dana from UNC Chapel Hill, and I just have a question for the group. I mean, something that I've been kind of challenged with is taking curricula that already exist and trying to align it to the new standards, knowing it's still years away from being implemented in our state. But there's so much meat in the standards and the framework, and while I'm used to just aligning curricula to the standards, which in this case would be the performance expectations, I've been really drawn to all the wanting to include the disciplinary core ideas, because that's the learning content. And I just wondered if anyone else was grasping how
some
to
write some noise
write
in the background. Please mute.
I was wondering if anyone was struggling with how to write
what is that?
Standards.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, somebody just did something funky. I added to the Google Doc the alignment process, and so what I boy, that's
can everyone not talking mute their phone?
We can try here. I'm gonna.
Maybe this is the space science component trying to creep in.
For
the error, I think it's somebody on either a speaker phone or a computer without their mute on. Got a feedback that's going on.
Some feedback here. Well,
so
30 people on the phone.
The just the.
Thank you, Donald.
So did you talk? It makes that sound. It sounds like that went away. The alignment process is going to be an important piece of work. We'll have to focus on how to be efficient.
Another piece that I think is difficult, when you talk about aligning curriculum, it might be a little bit easier to align pieces of curriculum because curriculum are sort of are developed with a certain set of ideas and skills in mind that might not match, you know, with the performance expectations, and it might be that we have to build pieces of curriculum that address specific performance expectations.
Yeah, and the discussion I had about it also, the idea of actually using the word align to a particular lessons was sort of discouraged. Instead, using language like that, this lesson utilizes this practice, this lesson addresses this core idea, and that this was really kind of raised the need for more of these modules or progressions, because this is such a progression-based way of, you know, these standards are so progression-based. And that you
The alignment is such a dangerous initiative that is
fundamentally, these standards are revolutionary in their approach. They envision a shift from a list of topics to an engaging experience doing science that combines content, skills, and big ideas.
Right.
And I remember going just the day after the standards were announced at NSTA, going down the hallway and going to the publishers and seeing the next day they already had the sticker on their book saying aligns with the standards, because what they've done is gone through the list of topics and said, oh, this is in chapter one instead of chapter three. And it is, I think, a temptation that is, you know, a dangerous effort to align two different concepts.
I think, this is Don, I think that's a really important point, that I think the next generation science standards are a more holistic document than what we've seen before, and trying to sort of sort out the particles of the document and match things up with them is not a systemic approach. So trying to picture a systemic assessment vision is a real challenge.
So a couple of things just to throw out there, and I'll then try to keep my mouth shut, but that to note that Achieve and SDA are working together with state leaders to develop a rubric for looking at the alignment of resources to NGSS. And I think the things that have been said here about the different dimensions and how you can't just pay attention to just a performance expectation or just a core idea. There's going to be some different elements to work with. My own working definition of alignment is a resource that targets a particular core idea while making use of at least one of the eight practices as a minimum level to work with at the resource level, although it doesn't have to be the specific practice that is combined with the DCI or the core idea at the performance expectation. And I can talk for about an hour longer on that, but I'll shut up.
Well, but I mean, I think what that highlights, Ted, is that as we do what Ted and Don are, Dan and Don are asking, to not get, you know, alignment crazy right off the bat and do what the textbooks are doing. But at the same time, you know, we have to move forward and make progress on how to help instruction with this. You know, when Martin Storstieg and I talked about it with Ted, is the philosophy of the Next Generation Science Standards and the NRC framework. Is it in line with the philosophy of how science instruction should work? And that's, you know, that's going to be a tricky process for us to help each other through. And so that rubric would be very useful.
I would point out that professional development and also in thinking of resources, you cannot underestimate the importance of the practices. And a lot of effort in thinking about the practices by the climate education community and all education communities would be very fruitful.
So how would you Ted, maybe I didn't capture it right. This top one under the professional development where it says new model for professional development, that's kind of what that's alluding to.
Yep.
I don't know if that's a very ambiguous thing. Gene Moon had sent out an article putting forth that vision as well. I'll have a link to there, but it's something like that.
Yeah. I agree. What I was going to say is that as you look at the resources that you have, I would look at, how can teachers, when they're using those resources with students, help students engage in the scientific engineering practices? But I'm thinking that that's something that's new with the standards that probably hasn't been part of the thinking of cleaning someone's face in the past and other resource people, and that going through resources with that lens, thinking about what guidance you can provide teachers about that would be valuable.
So really emphasizing how the practice is a way of learning the concept.
Exactly. And how the various resources help students do that or help teachers do that. Because a lot of teachers aren't going to know how to do that right now, and they're going to need help learning to do that.
How do you go from this teacher-led to student-led piece, too? Isn't that part of that with the practice?
Yes. And from what is, I think, inquiry sort of in quotes, not necessarily how inquiry was described in the National Science Education Standards, but how it has been operationalized in classrooms, which is students engaging in activities, but not necessarily taking the evidence they gather together and thinking about it, doing some sense-making, developing explanations, engaging in argumentation, developing models, all of those sort of things are less likely to happen in classrooms right now than they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think that, you could look at the resources you have and try to think about explicit guidance that could be given to teachers about how to use those resources in that way. If a resource is not lending itself to use with any of the practices, then it's a questionable resource in my mind.
So given we've got a minute of our official time with each other and this lovely feedback, there's no reason why this conversation has to stop right here. I think, the Google document is shown to be an interesting and effective tool for gathering, crowdsourcing, if you will, people's thinking. So we can keep on working. Don't forget to use the comments section of the document. And I think that the more we kind of capture each other's thinking and move things around and make sense out of it, the better off we are as a group. So I don't know if there's any other things we want to do in this time together officially, Tamara or Scott. But I don't want to just blow past our 2:00 time.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
One question. This is Rebecca. If folks are sort of taking ownership of different pieces of this puzzle here, if they can put their name next to those pieces in the Google Doc so that we can see who is working on what aspect.
Yep, agreed.
So you're suggesting we put our name on each piece that we've added?
Or you can put your name at the top in a certain color and then color code all your contributes, something like that.
Oh, I see.
So everything in blue is Tamara.
Oh, okay. I'll have to go back and do that.
Rebecca, does the track changes of Google Docs keep that information anyway?
Sort of.
The revision history?
Yeah, I think it would be easier, though, from looking at the doc without going into past history to just see who is working on each piece.
Right.
And I think we can use this document then to just internally, if we see opportunities for collaboration, reach out to those folks and maybe schedule a follow-up call.
Yep.
In another month or so.
Agreed. And I'll work with Rebecca or others to get the Google Docs all non-nullified in Google so that everybody can have access to them. Hopefully
okay, that
find
would be
useful.
Great. Are you going to be continuing to do this? Well, I haven't been able to see the Google Docs. Are you going to continue to be doing these mappings that you showed in the PowerPoint?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to take a while to kind of refine those.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. It may be helpful as time goes on, Frank, to focus on a particular one and just have a conversation about it on our call to just sort of help you think it through and provide input from a broader group.
Absolutely.
We could do a Google Doc of the big mapping feature they have in Google Docs together.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Because it's good. The details of really what, and I think Mark, you would find this useful, is once you see an arrow, is everything that because these are really they're more like units, than they are like a lesson. And, you know, what are all the things that have to be in that, and how do you capture that in here? Is still work to be done, in my opinion. All right. So we're 3 minutes past, so I don't want to...
Okay, well, thank you very much. I'm sorry I had this feedback. I don't really know what the problem is. I've not had this before. But I appreciate everybody calling in, and we will talk again soon.
Thank
Next
you.
Week, we'll continue our conversation about social media.
Excellent. See everyone.
Okay.
See you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks, all.
Tamara?